So today we're going to talk about this subject, is there really a God? No matter where you go, what you do, there's always somebody. How many know somebody who says, I don't believe in God, or I don't believe there is a God? Everybody? How many know somebody like that? Don't say this to them, but the Bible says they're a fool. Okay, the Bible said that. The Bible said that. Amen. But there it is. So we're going to look at this, and I'm not going to use the Bible to prove the Bible, prove God. I'm going to look at the science a little bit. So we're going to have to do a little mathematics. I know some of you have trouble with addition, but we're going to go into it. And a little bit of science, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And we're going to get into it. So you ready for that? All right, let's pray. Y'all going to stay for? I mean, that's okay. I mean, if you want to. That is not the right thing to say, Marlo. I won't even repeat what she said. We better pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you. You're the rock we stand on. You're the word we speak, and we pray that you will bless this time together, bless this word. May it make its point. Help me to preach it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And the church says, amen. I will try to stay within 30 minutes. And sometimes people say, oh, preacher, just go ahead and preach as long as you want. At my age, 30 minutes is about it. That's the only reason I've shortened my messages. Anyway, you ready for this? If I need to take 2 weeks, I'll just take 2 weeks. I think it's important to do, but I think I can get it all in. Genesis 1:1. How about let's start at the beginning? In the beginning. And by the way, that's not a baseball term, in the big inning. I'm really starting off on the wrong foot, aren't I? Hi, how about those Guardians, huh? How about, woo! I can't get Indians out of my head. It's, I don't know. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, say in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Tell someone near you, I didn't come from a tadpole. Will you tell someone that right now? Don't tell them they may look like a tadpole, but just say, I didn't come from a tadpole. Some people say you can't prove that there's a God. But let me put it this way. After I'm done with this sermon, you're gonna agree with me that it takes a lot more faith, a lot more faith to believe in evolution than it is to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And the evidence is out there scientifically. Do not let people tell you that, well, scientists say the earth from one cell enlightened. Just because they have the title scientist doesn't mean they're right. You say, well, why won't they admit the truth? Big reason. Because they'd have to admit there is a God. You say, well, what's the big deal with that? Well, if you admit that there's a God, then you have to answer the question, what does he expect of me? I mean, if you created something, you have authority over it. If you make something, then you're allowed to use it. So it begs the issue, well, then therefore there are people that are in rebellion against what God made them to be and do. And by the way, that's them. So to admit there's a God is a huge step for them. And they're not willing to take it because they believe everything can be explained by science. And I beg to differ that it's not explained by science. It's explained by your belief in chance. The Bible tells us God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, God's responsible for everything material, earth. He's responsible for time in the beginning. There was no time before God created time. Think about that. There are no clocks in heaven. No timepieces. No passing of time. Just eternity. You're going to live forever somewhere. You're not just going to cease to exist. But he made the heavens and the earth. That's space. There was no concept of space before God stepped into time. God created time, space, and matter. And he created it out of nothing. Now, what do the evolutionists and the atheists believe? They think nothing, or let me say another, everything came from nothing. The Big Bang. Who said that? You got it. What in the world lit that fuse? I don't know. There's no God. There's no nothing. But now they say it was just a tiny little thing. And you, I don't care what they say it is. It's like, where did that little thing come from? But this little dot that was smaller than an atom, you know, they figure if I make it small enough, that makes it more likely to exist. So I guess the dot existed for all eternity, so their God is a dot. This tiny dot, smaller than an atom, can you imagine how much energy must have been in that little dot for that thing to and out of that dot came all that material and time and space. And we know as a fact that the universe is expanding. So it's, and all the suns and all the stars and all the planets, and you and me were in that little dot. I think there was a God. But here's the problem. It's not just that it expanded. It had to expand in a mathematically correct way. Because here's the problem. If everything's flying apart, how do things come together? They said, well, the earth, you know, all this came together and formed a planet and stars come together. Well, if everything's flying apart, how are things coming together? So they say, well, the universe has to expand at a certain rate, and they give the number. It's the number 10 with 120 zeros behind it. I can't even imagine that number. There's no name for that number. It is so huge. But if it varied that much, and I don't know where in the world they came up with that stupid number. But then you have to have gravity. Something's got to pull it together. So you got one force blowing it apart, and you got gravity putting it together. Seems like they're working against each other. But gravity has to be 1 in 10 with 38 zeros behind it. I know it's a lot of science, and I don't have time to get into all of it. And even if I did, you wouldn't care. So here we go. Just understand that the odds of this expansion and contraction hitting these exact numbers are about 1 with 100 zeros behind it. What are the chances that it happened exactly like that? Or if it did happen like that, seems to me like a God must have been behind it. All this happened by chance. So, how did life form? And I'm going to get into DNA later, but let's just talk about a protein, just one protein. Because in every cell, there are hundreds of these proteins. Every one of them has a job to do, and they all fit together in exactly the same way. And what are the chances? They say, well, what happened is lightning struck water somewhere, some primordial. Y'all came from slush and mud. You know, it doesn't do much for my ego to know that that's where I came from. I'm tempted for you to look at someone and say, you ain't nothing but dirt anyway. I mean, that's... Lightning struck it, and it caused life. I don't know about you, but every time lightning strikes anything, it usually kills something. Now, there are some exclusions. I know Benjamin Franklin put a kite up, and he channeled electricity. But I don't think there were any kites flying that day. And then there's Frankenstein. Okay, there are some exceptions. But generally, which this is basically Frankenstein, right? This is it. But basically, lightning destroys things. It doesn't bring something that has no life. See, that's the problem. How does life come from non-life? And they say electricity, lightning did that. Mm-hmm. So what are the chances? Some mathematicians did this, and they said it's 1 chance in 10 with 77 zeros behind it. That's one protein. But here's the killer. A protein cannot exist by itself. Proteins need other proteins. There are hundreds of proteins in a cell, one cell. And you have to have hundreds of these proteins to form all at once. You can't have one, and then it divides into two, and then it divides. No, it can't exist without other proteins. So you don't get one protein. You have to create a lot of proteins all at once. And they all have to be different so that they all can work together. We're talking about some kind of lightning at this point. And we still don't have a cell because we need hundreds of these proteins to make one cell. But that's not the end of the story. That's just one cell. And we got the same problem. A cell can't exist by itself. You can't just have one cell saying, I'm alive. And they say, well, it divided into two, and the two divided into four, and the hip bones connected to the, and it's just, these scientists know better. These cells can't exist without other cells. They all exist together. They're all connected. You can't have a single cell just living by itself. And even if you did, plants, all the people, all the animals, all the DNA that was needed for all this stuff is in that one cell. That's a lot of information in one cell that can't exist by itself. Are y'all here? Are y'all seeing some problems with this theory? They really have no answer to any of this. You might be able by some miracle, really we're talking about a miracle here, some miracle form some bacteria. Some single-cell bacteria. Here I am. But where's the next one going to be made? You need another miracle. And another miracle. You need a lot of lightning strikes. Because you can't get all the material, all the information. Think about a computer. You can't get all the information out of one cell. So there's no way this could function all at the same time. You know, and it's not just life. It's the earth itself. Scientists say we're in the Goldilocks zone. It's not too hot, and it's not too cold. Life on earth cannot exist if the earth was even just a little bit closer to the sun. And the earth cannot, life cannot exist if the earth was just a little bit beyond. Think about all the planets beyond us are ice balls. All the planets closer to the sun are just on fire. We have to be in that right zone. Isn't luck amazing? Let's praise luck right now. Everyone just Everyone just prays luck. It just happened. But that's not all. It's not just about the distance. It's about the tilt of the earth. If the earth was tilted in any other way, life couldn't exist. Because it wouldn't be rotating properly. The speed at which it rotates is absolutely necessary for life. The atmosphere has to be exactly the way it is right now. If it's thicker, amen, sunlight wouldn't be able to get through. If it's less than, the atmosphere is less than, and you know, the atmosphere did change just a little bit before the flood, but we'll talk about that some other day. But if it changes much more, if it's too thin, what happens? Radiation. It would kill you. So the atmosphere has to be Goldilocks. Everything has to be, the relationship between oxygen and nitrogen has to have the exact balance it has now. Ah, isn't luck amazing? Praise luck, amen. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But it's listen, everything proves a word I want you to understand. It proves design. Everything has design. And you can't have design without a designer. Here's how ridiculous it is. You're walking down the beach. And as you're walking down the beach, you see a handbag on the beach. And your first thought is, oh, look what the ocean built. The wind and the waves. It cut the grasses underneath the sea and formed it into a perfectly lined bag and put a handle on it that fits over my shoulder and got a little flower on the front. Oh! It's amazing. Well, what evolutionists are saying happened would take more than that. No, if you saw a handbag laying on the beach, you'd say, someone left their handbag. Someone made that. Come on, somebody made this. Look at your neighbor and say, you're no accident. Look at your neighbor and say, you're no frog. Come on. Let me put it another way. If fish became frogs, you know, because frogs can live in the water and the land, so they, you know, I guess maybe it became a frog, and then the frog became something else. Here's the problem. It takes, a frog has a certain DNA, and the fish has a certain DNA, and the problem is the frog DNA is not in the fish. Fish can evolve. Fish can become other kinds of fish because the DNA is in there, fish DNA. And the DNA has all kinds of variety, so you can have all kinds of colored. And you say, "Well, look at the polar bear." Yeah, well, all the dark colored bears died up there, but the white ones lived, and the white ones reproduced, and so now you got all white ones. Does that make sense? There is such a thing as evolution, but here's the problem: there's no, say no. There is no frog DNA in a fish. It would have to be created. It needs a design. It must have a designer. Touch your neighbor and say, there's got to be a God. That's why the Bible says, I don't know how many times it says, I forget now, at least a dozen times, it says, and God created them after their kind, after their kind, after their kind. Now, the DNA might be close. I think now they used to say the DNA difference between a man and a monkey is only like 98 compared to 100. Well, now, but they cheated. And now we know it's more like, well, that's a lot. Yeah, but if you don't have that 10%, a monkey can't become a man. it can't create new DNA. Come on. It's like a computer. If you have a computer, and let me think. You put information in that computer about, name a subject, any English. And that computer knows everything about English, all the verbs, all the tenses, all the history of the language, how it developed. It knows everything about English. You can ask that computer anything about English, and it's going to spit back information. But if you enter a question, computer, what's a good recipe for a casserole for tonight? As smart as that computer is, as detailed as it is, it's going to say, what's a casserole? Because it never got inputted that information. Somebody had to input information into the DNA. And you can't create new DNA when it's not there. There must be a designer. Oh, somebody help me in the house. For a couple centuries now, they've been looking for, you ever hear this? The missing link? I know some of you think that's your uncle, but no, that's not him. What's the missing link? They're looking for that link between monkey and man. And they've never found it. And they're never going to find it. Because there is no link. There's no intermediary. There's nothing in between. And I know you may have read some stories, decades ago, loosing link. And then they looked at it closer. Now they know better because they could do DNA analysis. No, Lucy was just an ape. There are no missing links. Because God made them after their... It also begs the question, what if there is no God? If there is no God, there is no right and wrong. There is no authority. There is no expectation on us. We have no purpose in life. What would your purpose be? You're here by accident. Life becomes hopeless. It's no wonder. No wonder people are the way they are. We are created, which means we're a miracle. We're designed, which means we have purpose. If God made us, there's intentionality there. What does that mean? We're not a mistake. Let me throw this in, too. That's why we need to honor each other, because we were all made in God's image. You may think you're better, but Charlie Kirk said this, our purpose is eternal. Our story has structure. Our life has aim. And our breath is borrowed. Here's another quote from Charlie Kirk. We have everything to live with, but nothing to live for. And there it is right there. People today, they don't believe in God anymore, but they have everything to live with. We have a roof over our heads. Our homes are heated, maybe even air conditioned. We have beds. We have a job. We have everything that previous generations never had, and we have everything to live with. But how many know the greatest problem in America today is depression? Come on. I could give you statistics all day. 57% of girls in their 20s. 57% are chronically depressed. 57%. Young people, what are they depressed about? So you don't know what it's like. Yeah, I was 20 once. In the age group 15 to 24, the leading cause of death is suicide. That's trouble with cell phones. They're listening to everything we're saying, right? And they're tuned into the scientists. Depression, loneliness, isolation, hopelessness. That's most people today. Everything to live with. And I blame this concept that there is no God. Have you heard of, let me give you a good example. Have you heard of young people who cut themselves? And I know you're all thinking, that's the craziest thing in the world. Why in the world would somebody cut themselves? And not once, but they do it all. I'm going to tell you why they cut themselves. I'm going to tell you why. They cut themselves because it's the only thing they can feel. They don't feel anything anymore. They're numb. How do you get numb? By getting beat so badly. By being so hurt that there's just nothing left. You just don't. Have you heard of people that say, I just don't feel anything anymore? And you know that's because they have been through everything. And now they feel nothing. So they cut themselves just so they can feel something. He's alive. Cares about us so much, he actually took on flesh and lived with us and died for us and conquered death for us. God. Easter part two. Amen. Can I take a break from the science and give you some scripture? Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together. To love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You're never going to be happy till you align with the purpose God made you with. Whew. By the way, if you don't know your particular gift in life, we have surveys for that. We'll pass them out to anyone that wants them. You can fill them out, turn them back in, and we'll get back with you. Listen, we are made to worship something. Romans 1:25. People who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. See, you're going to worship something. And here's what the atheist is. Their God is the earth. And by the way, that's this whole green movement. And listen, I believe in being good stewards. I don't believe you should abuse the land. I understand all that. But how many know some in the green movement have absolutely lost their minds? They've gone to extremes that are just crazy. And actually, and I've heard this so many times, especially lately, actually to some of the green movement, the earth is actually a religion. And if you don't follow the religion, you're going to get rebuked. You're going to get canceled. Listen, if the earth is their God, what is their sacrifice to that God? And it's abortion. Why are they so crazy about abortion? Because it's a religion to them. You know, you can worship the earth. Listen, I've been to the Grand Canyon. Anyone else been to the Grand Canyon? Yeah. You go to the Grand Canyon, I guarantee you, it will take your breath away. You will look at that and go, this is awesome. This is inspiring. Whew. I remember standing at, there's places where there are no railings, and you can actually stand right on the edge and look straight down. A couple miles, I guess. I don't know how far down it is. I did that. I made sure Glory wasn't standing behind me first, but I looked down. Solve all her problems. Amen. How many love the First Lady? How many of you would look behind you, too, for your spouse? All right. I had to break it up a little bit. All right? I was inspired, but you know what? The Grand Canyon didn't say one word to me. I get up every morning and feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm inspired by that, too. But you guess what? I'm not just inspired. He speaks to me. He has a plan for my life. He orders my steps. Oh, glory to God. The Lord can speak to you. He can order your step. He is in charge of your life. There is a God. Hallelujah. And we can worship him. Go hug all the trees you want to hug, you tree huggers. But that tree, unless you're in the what's that Lord of the Rings where the trees walk around? Trees don't talk back. They don't give you anything unless you cut them down. Isaiah 55. How long? Oh, Jesus. Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, my thoughts than your thoughts. Wow. Psalms 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you... You know, Peter really got it right. Peter chapter 3, above all, you must understand. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, mockers, chasing after their evil desires, they will say, so what about this promise of his coming? Our ancestors are dead and buried, and this is important, yet everything is still the same as it was since from the beginning of time until now. That's, stay right there. That's important. It's called uniformity. And they believe that we can only judge the earth by, in other words, the way the earth is now is the way it always was. And believe me, I could preach another 30 minutes just on that thought. Come on. Because the atmosphere wasn't always the same. The earth wasn't always the same. They carbon date things based on, you know, how much carbon is the half-life of carbon. I won't bore you with all of it. But carbon has a half-life, and if you measure it, you can tell how long it's been in there. But the problem is that means that the radiation from the sun has always been the same, but it's not been always the same. And that makes things seem much older than they really are. Does that help anybody? Because you say, well, carbon dating says it's 50. You know, I tell do you mind if I ramble a little bit? Some of you say, he's already been rambling. Got Doug on that one. Yeah, that was a good one. They're starting to find footprints and evidence. And this one footprint I saw was so clear. There's an obvious, because at one point that rock was soft, right, lava and so forth. But there's a footprint. I mean, it's clearly a man's footprint. Very clear. You can see the five toes. You see everything. It's exactly a footprint. And over the top of the footprint is the footprint of a dinosaur. How in the world did that happen? You know what that tells me? Dinosaurs were alive at the same time that man was. And now they're starting to find, there's I think, tissue still there. It can't be 100 million years old if there's still tissue on the bones. Come on. And how are they finding? There's a place in Africa where there's literally tens of thousands of buried fossils, just all crushed together, all pushed together over this big area, and there's tens of thousands of it. It's like the scientists say, well, one day all these animals are walking along and they all just died. And the thing is, when an animal dies, how many know it decays? The only possible exception is if it falls into some kind of mud pit and it sinks, so it doesn't decay right away, and animals can't get to it to eat it. But how many times can that happen? It's obvious to anyone who's honest that all these animals died because they were rapidly buried. There are fossils of dinosaurs in the act of giving birth that are buried. Yeah, he died in... What? There are, and a lot, I mean a lot of these dinosaurs are in this pose. In other words, they're swimming. They're trying to. Yeah, there really was a flood. There really was a catastrophe. There were tens of thousands of volcanoes exploding all over the planet. Yeah. Oh, if y'all had time, I could. It changed the temperature of the earth. Can you imagine thousands of volcanoes? And there's some disagreement on this, but I think part of what happened, and now it's proven as they look at star maps and they look back at things, and now it's proven that there was a time when there was a meteor, and you know they have these tails, and as the meteor went by, all those small fragments went into the planet. Tens of thousands of little rocks just shoo, shoo, shoo. It tore up the atmosphere. Remember it says the fountains of the deep. He said, "Well, how can it rain?" He said, "There's not that much water up there in the canopy." Well, the canopy got broke, and the water. There's more. Listen, even today, there's more water under the ground than above the ground, counting all the oceans. So all that water starts coming up. The earth had a lot more area than it does now, but it came up. It starts flooding, and then an ice age formed. How did an ice age form? I'm giving you the short story. Are you following me? An ice age formed because all the smoke from the fires and the volcanoes, the planet, there was no sunlight, probably for decades, and the earth. The earth became really cold really fast, and it formed the ice age. Now, it takes a lot of snow for an ice age. Listen, I'm an old Minnesota boy. I'm telling you, the colder it gets, the less likely it's going to snow. Why is that? Because the atmosphere becomes drier as it gets colder. So scientists still can't figure this out. How do you get that much snow? Snow higher than from here to the ceiling. How do you get that much snow if it's that cold? And if it's not that cold, it wouldn't accumulate. It would melt in the summer. Come back next week, and I'm going to tell you how that happened. And you know where the snow cat was. In fact, this is kind of interesting. The glacier, these huge glaciers, you know how far it came? Into Ohio, it stopped just about where Mansfield is. We never were under the glacier. That's why you go out west of here, north of here, flat. Just will agree with me on that one point. So how did all that snow come down? Here it is. All this, the fountains broke. How many know there's heat in the core of the earth? It heated the oceans. They say it heated the ocean to bathwater. Now, what happens when you have a warm water and a cool air? It drops snow like crazy. Scientists won't admit it, but that's what happened. And that's why up in the northern regions, you got this water that's warm, air that's cool, and it causes a huge amount of snow. So that they say, well, it's been. It's funny, during World War II, decades later, they found it, something, and they found the plane, and they looked at how much snow had accumulated on top, because they say there's layers. And every layer is like so many thousand years. Well, this layer must be 10,000. Here's another 10,000. Here's another. There were enough layers over that plane for 100,000 years. It didn't take thousands, tens of thousands of years for these layers. They happen quickly. Come on now. I mean, it's just thing after thing after thing after thing. It's just crazy. Back to our scriptures. Everything is not the same as it was. That are all messed up. Listen, anytime they say something's more than 5 or 6, 7,000, and it goes wildly inaccurate, Is the earth 6,000 years old? Probably. Listen, they conveniently overlooked that from the beginning, the hand's word. Is that a word for today? He spoke and the dry land separated from the waters. Then long afterward, he destroyed the world with a tremendous flood by those very... He knew it back. He said, in the last days, these doofuses... Charlie Kirk had this little thing, not the introduction to the slide. Yes or no? No? Yes or no? No, okay. It's a really great slide. So this really goes all the way back to the garden. It's been 45 minutes. You okay? I got one yes. I'm so tired. You're literally sitting in a padded chair. Get over yourself. I should make you all stand. It goes back to the garden. I'm wrapping up. It goes back to the garden where God said, Has God surely said? You know, the pagans in centuries past, they had many gods to God. They had a god for everything, but the thing is ocean, the fertility god controlled. But the gods were part of nature. Our God is above nature because he made it. And we only have one God. One God. Now, today, people don't believe that anymore. Not too much. It's starting to come back. People are starting to believe in all this weird stuff again. But mostly what you hear is this. I'm God. I'm a God. Well, that has its problems. Because if I'm a God, and you're a God, and you're a God, you're a God. We got some God problems. Because who's to say who's right? If we're all gods and we can't get along, what does that say about our gods? See, it sounds good. Yeah. I'm a God. And that's where it's going. That's where it's going. You know, I'm a God. I make my own decisions. You ever hear the expression, I have my own truth? You know, it's my truth. What's your truth? Can I say that another way? I'm a God, you're a God. I'm a God, you're a God, everyone's a God. It's insanity. You can't have many gods. And if you have no God, there's no authority, there's no purpose. You've heard it, you know what DNA is, right? We all have DNA. There are 3.2 billion, billion with a B, what they call base pairs in your genome. I don't have time. There's four letters. Only four letters, not 26, four letters, four different kinds, and they come together in different combinations to create your DNA. Listen, these four letters actually are put together like a book. They tell a story. So that's why they can look at your DNA, they can look at your history. They know if you're a monkey or a man. I mean, the DNA tells them everything, right? With crime scenes, right? That DNA links you. Every one of you have a book called DNA based on these four letters. So I thought, well, let's do an experiment, 3.2 billion. So let's do an experiment. Let's say the average word is seven letters long. Some are one letter, some are 12, 15 letters, but seven letters to a word. And let's say there's 300 words on a page. Is that fair? 300? Some of you have never read a book in your life. Okay. 300 words on a page. Now, if there's 3.2 million of these, how many pages would your book have? I did the math. This book called Your DNA. By the way, if they strung it together, oh, I wish I had that number. If they made it like a string, they can go back and forth between the moon thousands of times. How many pages? 1.5 million page book. Praise luck. The chances of that are 1 in 10 with 34 zeros behind it. Now, that number doesn't mean anything, but can I give you an example? Ready? You know what a dime is. Take a dime and start stacking them up. Stack these dimes up 238,000 miles high. And then do another one. And then do another one. In fact, do these stacks of dimes all covering every square inch of North America, from Central America, Mexico, the United States, Canada, and Greenland. Every square inch has one of these dimes, stack of dimes. That's a lot of dimes. But that's it. That's not all. Now, add 1 billion more continents. Now, paint one of those dimes red and randomly throw it into one of these piles and tell somebody, pick one dime out, and hopefully you will pick the red one. How much money would you put on? Nothing would be the right answer. How much money would you put on the chances of him pulling that red dime out of all those dimes? And yet science expects us to believe, because that's 1 in 10 with 30. That's the chance. Now, if you want to believe that, more power to you. More power to you. But what are the chances there is a God? He made all this. One more illustration. So you're walking through an airport. No, you're walking through a junkyard. Right over here. You're walking through a mill iron, whatever it's called now. Blue. And let's say last night we had a tornado come through and just tore up that junkyard. It just tore it up. Didn't touch her. But a tornado went through there. And after the tornado went through, on the next morning, they came into the junkyard, and there, behold, there was a fully functioning, loaded with fuel, staffed 787 jet that the wind had just blown together. It just all came together. It's the most amazing. Oh, praise luck. Would any of you believe that story? And yet people believe this stupid story that all this happened by chance. You have a better chance of a 787 being formed after a windstorm than you do. I'm talking mathematics now. I'm not just messing around. I'm talking mathematical chances that scientists, they said, these are the odds. And the odds of a 787 being formed out there are better. I believe there's a God. I said, I believe there's a God. Hallelujah! My God, hallelujah. Let me set you up for the future, because there's pretty much four basic things in Scripture. And doesn't he say that the Sabbath is holy? And he says gender is holy because God made them after their kind, and male and female, he made them. So he said gender, he said that was holy. Come on. Marriage is said to be holy because it's different than any other kind of union. Marriage is holy. By the way, the word holy means set apart. It's special. And the fourth one is life itself. Life is holy because God made it. It's holy. It's different. It's set apart. It's God made. I'm going to say something now. And I think I'm preaching to the right audience here. But you need to hear what I'm saying because it'll go across the radio and everything else. But if you're a Christian and you don't believe God made this world, the whole foundation of your relationship is flawed. And I question if you really know